Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 137 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve, and we're going to recap some nerd news. We're going to begin in entertainment with the WandaVision series wrapping up, and then some news regarding a Terminator anime series. And then in video games, Sony decides to discontinue the PlayStation Store for movies and TV purchases. Then we'll jump over to tech, where we'll discuss some of these recent NFT sales and what are NFTs. And then we'll talk about the full self-driving beta getting expanded for Tesla, SN10 explosion, and some hacking news. So lots to get to. Let's get started.
Calling back all nerds. Nerds!
All right, and welcome back to episode 137. And we're now in our week hiatus of nothing new coming from Disney Plus, but WandaVision just wrapped up. And I don't know if you've seen so many people with it just being, well, what was the point of the whole show?
it feels like almost like the baseball All-Star game, you know, where like the day after the All-Star game, there's just like no fucking sports on for a day. And everybody's just like, what do we do with ourselves? Sports Center's just running old clips.
Yeah, the show wrapped up. You know, I guess we don't have to do any detailed analysis or, you know, spoilers right now. But
yeah, I'm gonna try to write my thoughts on it at some point this week. Put it out there.
Yeah, but ultimately, I mean, the show is entertaining. Who the hell knows where the MCU goes from here? What implications it really has? I love like the memes that show that. You know, of all of the crazy theories and fan theories that existed for the series and, you know, what characters were what characters were being brought, this was going to enter the mutants and this was going to bring in Fantastic Four, this was going to bring in all these things, and it's like,
womp,
no.
Womp.
No. Absolutely none of those things.
But like you said, it was entertaining. It wasn't anything of what I really expected it to be. You know, they named the show WandaVision, and you see it's this about this TV show throughout the decades, and you're just really like, what the fuck is going on here? First three episodes, you're still going, what the fuck is going on here? Then it starts to unfold into some good plot points. Introduces some new characters, you know, the Agatha memes, like I'm here for them all. Like, I'm here for them all. That little side wink of hers is going to live in infamy. Like she fucked up. Like that little side wink I see in memes every goddamn day now, you know,
and that it was Agatha all along. Was like the top song on Apple Music for like 2 weeks. It's a 47 second garbage song from a TV show, and it was the top on Apple Music on iTunes for like 2 weeks. It's absolutely absurd.
I accredit it to the actress whose name, once again, it's early in the morning and I'm a complete stoner, so I forget this shit, but she's just phenomenal, man. Like I think if anybody else plays Agatha, nobody gives a shit. Like, honestly, anybody else plays Agatha, nobody really gives a shit. Like, they care that the character's introduced. They probably like the character, but you're not getting the memes. The theme song's not going number one. Like, anybody else, I don't think you have this kind of reaction to it.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree that, you know, she's a nerd favorite. She's been in such, like, great, like, our age comedies that that... people just love to tune in and watch whatever she does, but she absolutely does have like such a wide range of like comic ability to where like she was the perfect person to play all of the sitcom tropes of the friend next door and to do all of those things. And then she turns out to be a pretty passable, just cackling witch as well. So it turned out to be probably the best casting that anybody from Marvel could have done for that. But Catherine Hahn, that's the name that escaped you there, but
sure thing.
You know, she's phenomenal.
Yeah, no, she was great in it. There was tons of Easter eggs for all the fans. You're really gonna have to watch the series or some Gen Z's YouTube channel to really get them all. And it was like you said, highly entertaining. I'm still kind of digesting where it falls in the MCU, how this is gonna affect other things. You know, for those who haven't watched them yet, there are after credit scenes and post credit, you know, the mid credit scenes that tie into the MCU and give some implications. So make sure you watch all those. With this wrapping up, we head into Winter Soldier next week, Falcon and Winter Soldier, and we keep this Marvel train running and get ready for some of these summer movies that we will hopefully be able to watch in a theater.
Maybe. We'll see. I think this week's big box office hit was that new Disney Plus animated movie, which made like a whole $8 million domestically.
Well, because you could buy it off Disney Plus too. So for so it comes out in June on Disney Plus for everybody. If you pay $30 now, you get it from now till June. Watch it as many times as you want. So I'm assuming a lot of people with kids just said, fuck it, I'd rather pay the $30 to watch it as many times as I want at home rather than once in the theater, which when you offer that, I don't blame you. That's a little different than the Amazon model or the other models where you pay $20 and you get to watch it once, you know, so that almost encourages you still to go to the theater. Like, well, if I'm only going to be able to watch it once, I'll take the theater experience. But if you offer for $10 more unlimited viewings, then now we're really trying to fuck the theaters, I think. Like, that's a little different.
Yeah, and not to mention, who wants to drag your kids to the theater? That's just a shit experience to begin with. So if I can avoid taking my kids out into public,
so I have a dream to open my own theater one day, and I had explained to my girlfriend just yesterday what my vision is, and I'm just going to put it out into the world now. Somebody else do it. This needs to exist, and I'll probably never get the fucking motivation or money. So have you ever been in like a church and they have that like room in the back of the room that's like soundproof with a big window and has like a speaker in it so that you could hear the pastor? Like, this is how I got the idea, because I remember being in a church when I was a kid, and you know, your little shit kid screaming, Pastor Joe ain't tolerating that shit. So you bring your kid in that soundproof room in the back, and you could see through the window, you could see mass, there's a little speaker in there, and nobody can hear your fucking kid screaming and wailing away. Why don't we make like the last two rows in a few theaters one of those rooms? You put a big window in. You bring your kid to the movie. If your kid starts screaming, go in that back soundproof room. It's got a speaker in it. It's got a big window. You can still watch the movies. Put some fucking toys in there. Cut, you know, whatever. Let the kid run around. Bang the shit around. Nobody in the theater gives a fuck. You know, families with newborns and infants can actually get out of the house and go see a movie and not worry about their kid ruining the movie experience for everybody else. Takes up, you know, what, two rows of the back that on any given regular day, nobody's sitting in anyways. You know, I really want to do that one day. Like, that in a theater you can smoke weed in, but that's my own little personal.
I mean, that might work. I don't know how many people bring that many young
I go
kids,
see enough but... movies. I'm telling you right now, motherfuckers be bringing kids, okay? I go see enough movies. I'm telling you right now, people be bringing their kids.
There's a theater out here by me. That's kind of it was a cool place to take the kids in, and since they had kid theaters, that inside each theater, they had like a Chuck E. Cheese level tubes and ball pits and all these
in
things.
In the theater?
All, inside every single theater had one. And inside the theater, they had tubes and ball pits that went up the stairs. So on the left-hand side, and it was just a gigantic row that the kids could go run through. And then they would pause the movie, turn the lights on, and let the kids go get their energy out for 10-minute periods, and they'd give the kids a warning, hey, get back to your seats, or whatever else, movie's about to start again, and they'd let the kids go.
That's
kids
not a
play.
Bad idea either.
And it was pretty solid. It's called Sinopolis Junior here in Southern California. There's a couple of them.
That's not bad. See, I want to do it so that, like, if parents wanted to go see Bond, they could bring their like 10-month-old because they're big Bond fans and they don't want to miss it. So they could bring their 10-month-old to a regular movie. And then if the kid starts making noise, one of them can go in the room. They could both go in the room, you know, and not ruin it for all the other adults. Because that's what I see most of the time is I'm at like it shocks me too. I'm at like a 9, 10 o'clock show and some couple will come in with like a fucking infant. Cause I'm assuming they think that nobody's going to be in that theater at the 10 o'clock show, but it's me, three other people, and this couple with this whiny ass fucking baby. And I'm trying to watch a fucking movie to do a review on it, you know, while my kids are sleeping. I love my little shit.
To go get in your box. Yeah. Go get in your soundproof box.
Go get in the box, people. Go get in the fucking box. Shut the fuck up. Like, I would love that shit. I honestly would love that shit. You know, and theaters are fucking me right now because of COVID. They're only open so much. They got 6 and 7 o'clock shows. That's it. No 8, 9, 10 o'clock shows anymore. So now it's either I got to leave dinner and leave my kids at the crib and go do a review, or I just don't do one at all because I wanted to go see that. God damn it. I'm like, like, I can't remember shit right now, but I wanted to go see that movie with Ray from Star Wars and Spider-Man where the men, all the thoughts, you know, the men project all their thoughts. It was just a new sci-fi movie. I figured I'd write a review on it. You know, with everything going on HBO Max and straight to streaming, it's really fucking my motivation to write reviews because I was going to do one on Captain America and Friday morning because it posted at midnight. Friday morning, I see like 100 posts about how shitty or good Captain America is or Coming to America too is. And I was just like, well, why write this now? why? Like, usually I write with the reviews to get people to either go to the theater or stay home to the theater. But with movies going straight to streaming, everybody just watches them anyways. So what the fuck do you care about my opinion? Like, it's royally fucking me right now.
But what did you think of Coming to America too?
I was going to write a review on that, but I started to think about it, and it is, I think, too culturally significant for me to give my white male opinion on that movie, honestly. You know, it had its good parts, it had its bad parts, you know, and I was just like, not going to lie, man, as a 40-year-old white man, I'm a little afraid to be too critical on that goddamn movie. I let my fellow African American reviewers take that one, and I'll just let that opinion just marinate in my brain. Because from a cultural standpoint, I see their point. Like, it was, you know, significant to just see, like, just like Black Panther was, an all black cast putting together a really good put together movie, some decent scenes, some decent writing. You know, so like I do see the cultural significance in it. So I just don't feel like putting my critiques on the things that I thought were just like, oh, really? Like, oh, really? I will put out there, though, in this day and age of cancel culture, I find it funny that Eddie Murphy still gets to do whiteface.
Oh,
I still find it funny that Eddie Murphy gets to do whiteface. You know, but we'll call it even for Robert Downey Jr. at Tropic Thunder. We're just gonna call that one a wash, and we're gonna be better moving forward.
All right. Well, I guess let's keep progressing here with some actual news on some future projects, and we got a Terminator anime series coming to Netflix.
I'm down for that. Like, it sounds interesting. Like, that would have never crossed my mind to ever put together or watch, but all right, I'll play along.
Yeah, it might be worth a watch. I haven't gotten very into the, I still haven't even seen, what was the last one? Terminator Dark Fate.
No?
I think that's what,
I wrote a review on that one. I went to the theater for that.
Yeah, I've been meaning to watch it. I guess I just, I'm just not that into the Terminator sagas at this point.
First one.
Yeah. So I do want to watch it. I just haven't. It's probably streaming somewhere for free for me by now. I just haven't even gone out and sought it out yet. Maybe I will before the anime comes out. The anime series, I don't know. I tend to enjoy series more than movies anyway, just because you can tell a different story. You can spend more time on what would be, you know, the little side quests or the little side stories of a major
Yeah, it's really hard. Movie. It's really hard to get the depth of a character and a story across in a 2-hour window.
Yeah, and I'm normally more about the story than I am about the grand scale of things, and that's what you get in the movies is the grander scale. But I prefer the stories, which is why I'm definitely more into series. So I would be more likely to jump back into just Terminator to see this than I was just to watch another movie of robots going at it.
Yeah, but man, seeing old ass Arnold still out there trying to get down, like, it's worth the viewing.
All right, and then we've got Sony which has made the decision to discontinue the PlayStation Store for movies, TV purchases, or rentals, or just getting out of that game altogether.
Yeah, I found this really interesting. Like they said by August, you're not going to be able to buy or rent any kind of movie or TV show on the PlayStation Store. And I just don't understand what they lose by offering that. You know, they said everybody's going to streaming. They're like, everybody uses our streaming apps. Nobody's buying, you know, movies and stuff off the site, which I can see that. But like, what's it hurt you to host a server to be able to buy these movies, you know, for the select movies that aren't on streaming services, for those that are fearful that the streaming service will eventually take it off their streaming service or they'll lose the rights to it. Not to mention, I still buy a lot of 4K Blu-rays and stuff because I like to own some of my movies. They come with a digital copy. So with Microsoft, when you put it on your like My Movies Anywhere app, it comes up in the Microsoft store as like purchased, so I can watch it on my Xbox without having to stream it from my phone or for anything else. So I still own a bunch of digital movies. Occasionally, if I don't care about owning the 4K disc and Xbox is having a big sale, I'll purchase one every once in a while off Xbox. So I just don't understand what they lose by having this offered. Like, what's the cost to run it? And yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, maybe just, you know, the maintenance of it just wasn't worth, you know, the effort anymore because there is very few purchases coming through there. You know, maybe with everybody shifting to their own streaming services, maybe, you know, I don't know. What's, you know, what was PlayStation's cut of that in the first place? What fees did these companies charge? And are they changing that for these kind of third-party people so that way they can keep it organic in their own?
Yeah, you think this might be like a strong arm move to the movie industry? Well, like, fuck,
it might just be
like, we're only getting 15 cents a movie from it anyways. We want to renegotiate this. Well, no, our deal works for you. Well, then fuck it. We're not going to sell it at all. Whoa, 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 whoa. Wait. Like, because you,
I mean, it might be. It might be. It might have been just a point where like, PlayStation ended up having to charge such a ridiculously high fee where people could get it for free in HBO Max or Disney Plus or whatever it happens to be.
But a lot of these streaming services aren't streaming a lot of shit in 4K still, man. Like,
they'll all get there. But yeah, I don't know. It's definitely an interesting thing. I was waiting for this, you know, in these articles for it to just say, and they're going to shut down all their servers for the movies that you've been buying for the last 5 years, and all that stuff goes away. I'm waiting for when that comes because it's. I think
eventually, yeah. They said anything you bought is still going to be good. Like
it's still going to be good for on-demand playback. Yep.
Yeah. But we'll like said, see how long that.
Yeah. How long you're going to maintain that capability? Now that you're not doing new things, how long are you going to keep investing in maintaining that server and maintaining all those old purchased movies? That's what I'm curious about. All right, and then I guess let's move over into some tech news. And let's just spend a little time talking about apparently NFTs, non-fungible tokens, because this week you know, we've got a record amount of like $6 million worth of NFT art, digital art being sold by Grimes. And I'm not wrong, Grimes is who's married to Elon, right?
Yep.
All right. So
they got that fucked up kid's name. Yep. That's them.
That's them.
They hit it on the nose.
And yeah, so she's selling some various art. Her War Nymph collection dropped and she gets sent $6 million, gets $6 million of crypto assets or whatever else to sell these NFTs or non-fungible tokens. And this is something that, you know, there's some people who really believe that NFTs are absolutely the future of digital ownership, the future of specifically digital art, both music and like a designed art. Like, you know, you can sell the greatest GIF and meme that has some level of artistic representation and you can sell them through NFTs. And again, it's a really crazy thing. I'll try my best because I've tried to educate myself on exactly what NFTs are. Because like at our age, like when it comes to NFTs, like we are the boomers. You know what I mean? Like everybody younger than us.
Okay, Gen Xer.
Like everybody younger than us is buying the NFTs and they understand it. And meanwhile, like I'm looking at it thinking, what the hell are you guys doing? Like, what are you purchasing? Yeah. This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
As I get older and my hair gets grayer, I feel tech slowly pulling away from me, and I'm just chasing it down with like an outreached arm. Like, no, I want to know what you are. It's like, see, buddy, we're too fast for you. Like, you're not going to get any of this shit. And I feel like in a matter of a decade, I'm going to be like grandma trying to figure out, you know, forgetting my passwords and trying to figure out how to survive in a digital age.
Yeah. Now, so the NFTs and the non-fungible tokens are, it's a way to tokenize or to create a unique identity to any digital content. Again, it could be a song, it could be art, it could be digital sports cards, which is a thing. You know, there's
you don't even get a piece of cardboard with your baseball card anymore. That's fucked.
I mean, you could, but those are fakeable. Those get destroyed. Those get, you know, weathered and worn.
But that's what makes them valuable. That's what makes them valuable is that there's a finite number. Some of them get destroyed. Some of them get ruined. And if you have a perfect one, the amount out there, like, that's what creates the value.
So it's what creates the value is because of the scarcity, right? And then the fact that some of them get ruined, so there's only a handful of them that maintain that certain quality. That scarcity is what gives
the
value.
That's the only reason why all these Superman and Captain America comics are worth so much money. There was a big paper drive during World War II. So all these parents said, fuck you and your comics, kid. We're donated it to the war effort and took all these Captain America, Superman, Spider-Mans, donated it to the war effort. And then now there's only like a handful of parents that said, fuck that war, kid. You could keep reading Spider-Man. And now these things are selling for millions because there's only so many left.
Yeah, so like I said, the scarcity is what causes value. And that's exactly what NFTs are doing, right? They are creating scarcity around these digital items where there's only so many of the tokens that are created. And then so if you want to be a true owner of this digital piece of art, this digital asset, and you want to have a big screen TV that just plays this artistic GIF in your room and say, "Hey, I own that." You can, and you could be one of the very few people who owns it.
Yeah, but like,
sounds.
How do you create scarcity over something digital? If we've learned anything from Napster, this is this is what I'm talking about. You possibly can now, but eventually someone's going to crack it to where your NFT $1 million piece of artwork is in some trailer park on some dude's fucking Google screen because he cracked your shit. Like, that's
They're not going to be because they're blockchain supported, and there's the digital consensus of who owns it because of the blockchain. Like, you're not going to be able to crack it. You're not going to be able to fake the NFTs. And what you could do, though, is
take a screenshot on your fucking phone, right, and send it to somebody.
Okay. But see, this is where we got to break away from our okay boomer mentality here, right? Because that same argument could be made on why a fake Mona Lisa, which to an average person is the Mona Lisa. I can hang that on my wall and feel the same thing, but it's not, right? It's not never considered the same thing because it's not the true original. It's not the true in this case. Yeah, I could go in there and I could record the same thing, or I could rip that piece of music. In the end, there is still only one true ownership. There's only one Mona Lisa. There's only one of the baseball. I could go ahead and copy a baseball card.
When it comes to like the art, I feel like the only people that are going to care are these tech startup people that just want to say they own the original digital copy. Like, for some reason, I just like when it comes to digital art, you know, so you talk about the Mona Lisa. There are people that could paint the Mona Lisa damn near really fucking close, but you know Leonardo da Vinci didn't paint that because a motherfucker died fucking how long ago and all this. With digital, it's going to be exact. And I don't know, for some reason, it just feels different when you don't have like a physical ownership of something that, you know, like I find it hard to believe that I'm going to ever pay a large sum of money for a piece of artwork that I can't hold. You know, I see NFTs being great for concert tickets and sporting events and things like that. I really see it really changed in the game for like companies like Ticketmaster and all these other companies that sell, you know, the I think baseball teams are going to stop going through ticket brokers, and they're all going to sell their own tickets on their sites through NFTs, so that every time a Cubs ticket gets scalped, the Cubs get a little bit of money. You know, I see great future in this, but the art with what Grimes did, I don't know, man. It doesn't feel right, because I collect art. I have a bunch of fucking art signed by artists, physical fucking sheets of paper that they drew hanging in my house. Some of them are prints. Some of them are originals. You know, like, I don't know, man.
And just wait until your favorite artist, until you know, Mark Brooks, your favorite comic artist, at the con or whatever else is selling an NFT, because it allows the artist greater control over who gets it. It allows people to support those artists in a new, unique way that is kind of dedicated towards their work. It gives you that. It gives you the permanent ownership. And then, like you said, it's also then a trackable asset, to where, yeah, if you sell it down the road, just like the scalping idea, well, that originator can still always kind of track and get a piece of that as it moves, as the resale market hits, and it gives them greater control.
I just don't see people buying, caring about
buying these things.
Well, I don't see people caring about buying the resale of it. You know, like, how do I sell? You know, so how do you say, look, I'm going to draw this digital picture, and I'm only going to email 100 people with the digital copy of it, you know, and then say the second person makes a digital copy of it and sells it so that you can't get a piece of it. Does the person buying it actually give a shit? Like, so like the copy of the Mona Lisa was painted by somebody else, and you'll always know that no matter how close it looks to Da Vinci, that Da Vinci never painted it. If you give me a digital copy of an NFT that somebody painted, it's still the thing they painted. It's still, yeah. It's not like you drew your own version of it as close as you could and then sold it to me at a discount. Like, no, like you literally digital copied, which is an exact replica. You know what I'm saying? Like how, like,
so
what is, that, what is the,
for you, you won't buy these things, but there's plenty of people who are going to buy it just for the status of being the verifiable.
And that's what I mean. Right? I think it's the only people that care about this are tech startup people that are going to say, like, yeah, I have the Grimes NFT, you know,
maybe
picture, you know, like whatever the fuck.
I think it's going to expand beyond that. What was it? Logan Paul, he made like $3 million in 30 minutes by selling NFT art at, I think he charged one Ethereum coin each, and it was when Ethereum was at like $1,900 per coin, and he sold NFT art, one Ethereum coin each, made $3 million selling hundreds of these.
Yeah, but
in a 30-minute span. Part of that is a speculative play. Some people are buying these things because, just like they would buy baseball cards today, because they think it might be worth something more tomorrow.
But like Logan Paul making $3 million off selling some NFT, be like Kim Kardashian spitting on a canvas and selling it. Some idiot's going to fucking buy it for $3 million. Like, I'm sorry. Like, that's just, I think that's more of a sign of our society rather than the success of an NFT.
Yeah, it's, I think it does show the success of the NFT. It also shows that there's interest in the market. There's also, again, there are people, like major people, people like, I don't know if you get, you know, Gary Vee and stuff. Like, there are people talking about NFTs as far as like a speculative.
Yeah, we need to find an expert on this and have them come on the show and explain to me how to protect the, you know, exclusivity of these NFTs. Because like I have Ed McGuinness Superman Batman painting that he drew, and it's one of 50, and it's labeled number one of 50. I bought the first one from Ed McGuinness himself. You know, it's a physical copy. It's signed by him, one of 50, and he'll never make another. So I'm guaranteed that there's only 50 of these in the world. Same thing with Chrissy Zullo. I have a one of 100 Princess Leia that she drew that's gorgeous hanging in my daughter's room. It's labeled, you know, number 34 out of 100, and she'll never print any of those ever again. Like, how do you guarantee that? All right, I'm Logan Paul. I just drew this fucking shitty Gen Z stickman doodle because I'm an idiot, and fucking, and I'm only going to make 100 digital copies of this. One, how do you guarantee that it's going to stay one of 100. You know, how do you, like, that's the part I'm missing out on, is especially with digital art, digital anything, how do you keep that one of 100 exclusivity so that you do want to resell it eventually? That somebody, you know, like, and like I said, how do you stop somebody just from taking a screenshot and being like, no, this is good enough for me. This is good enough for me.
It's the same thing that doesn't prevent, again, all of the other arguments you have work perfectly against your own examples, right? It's the same thing that I could go and copy. I can go take a high quality, you know, image and reprint it of your.
But you'll know that your McGinnis painting. But you'll always know it's fake because it won't be the same paper. It won't be the same. Like, there's going to be differences. Right. So there's always same an easy way to tell. There's not going to be an easy way to tell with NFTs.
Same as taking the screenshot, right? But and then, you know, your argument of, well, how do you know Logan Paul's just not going to do another 100? Well, how do you know McGinnis isn't going to print another 100 and just sign another 100 when later down the road of that he still has that painting digitized somewhere, because what you got was a print, right? A print that he promised to only sell 50 of. How do you know that that doesn't turn into 500 down the road? It's the same concept with the NFTs. Like, if you have an issue with that, your example still is victim to that same mentality. You're just boomer convinced. That's it.
Yeah, I like I said, I just don't, you know, like to me, it's like fucking Facebook picture, man. Like, it's a GIF. People steal GIFs all the time. You make a meme, put it up, somebody right clicks that motherfucker, takes your fucking little credit off of it, and then posts it on their page like they came up with it themselves. Happens all the goddamn time.
True story. I may do that on a regular basis. Well, I don't ever take people's credit off of it, because I just don't care.
No, so like a lot of times you'll see the GIF like with the person who actually tweeted it up in the corner. People are cropping that part out now and putting it up there like it's their own. Like, I know you didn't fucking think of that, Susan. You ain't that bright. Like, the fuck is wrong with you?
I don't know. I find it very interesting. I think, though, you know, we're talking about the really unique stuff with art, but the NFT, the use of the blockchain technology for NFTs for these non-fungible tokens, these completely, you know, you cannot duplicate them or fake them, completely trackable digital sale. I think it's going to open up, you know, I think the vast majority of like digital music and stuff like that is going to go towards NFTs in the future. So we're going to see NFTs as a
why would you do NFTs with music? Who's going to resell music, digital music, in the day of an age of Spotify and all this shit, and when you can to me it works perfect with concert tickets, because that's something that constantly gets resold, you know. I guess if you had digital comics, no, like, I wouldn't give a shit, but like somebody may give a shit. Things that are constantly being resold, I see the benefit in, but like, I've never gone up to somebody and been like, hey man, I'll give you $5 for this USB of blah, blah, blah remix. You know, like that's not going to happen, man. It's not going to happen.
It's happening right now. In a sense, with NFTs, as these artists are releasing,
because then every shithead Little Pump motherfucker is going to turn their SoundCloud into some NFT fucking generator, and now like no one's going to give a shit.
It's just another way to support artists, right? Patreon exists because people like to support individuals.
But I can't.
NFTs are going.
But
to
I
provide
can't
it as
resell
well.
Coleman Hughes's last podcast to some aftermarket dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's my point. Is like Patreon. Like, yeah, I donate money to him because I believe in what he's doing, and I listen to his show, so I want to help support his show. Same thing with us. We have our own Patreon, nerdcantina.com/ Patreon/nerdcantina. If you want to give us a buck, but. Nobody's going to sign up for our Patreon with the understanding of, well, I'm going to download their podcast and I'm going to sell it to somebody for $2 and I'm going to make a profit on it. Like, that's never going to happen. That's why you want to give me a buck, I'll take it. But like, that's not going to happen.
Yeah. Well, I think we're going to probably talk more NFTs in the future.
Oh yeah. This won't be the last time NFTs are mentioned on the show. I promise you that.
There's big interest right now in it, whether it's just kind of because it's new and it's this bubble and people just want to be the first adopters, and then it's going to settle or just disappear. I don't know. But right now, I think the NFTs, you know, even guys like Mark Cuban.
100% people that sports teams, sports teams, Ticketmaster, concert venues. I think you're going to see artists selling their own concert tickets now. Like, this might kill a Ticketmaster, which good. Die, you heartless fucking bastard. Die. Like, I fucking hope you rot in hell, every Ticketmaster exec, you pieces of shit. But I do think NFTs are going to give sports teams, actual bands, you know, like Louis C.K. was one of the first to sell his own tickets to his comedy venues.
Yeah.
And it was highly profitable for him, and it was really easy to work it. I don't think it was through a blockchain system or anything, but he devised his own system so that people wouldn't scalp the tickets as much. I really think that any venue is going to do this on their own. You know, that I think NFTs are the future of venue sales, to curb scalping, or if you do scalp, it at least shares the value with the creator. Now, I'm trying to figure out how to NFT the shit at my house for my garage sale, so I get paid perpetually on all my junk throughout the rest of my fucking life. Like, can we get this down on some actual physical things? Because
the worst.
I'm trying to have a garage sale in this bitch, and I want residuals for the rest of my life. Every time my lawnmower gets sold, I want $5.
All right, let's move out of this topic here. Let's progress with the show. We've got a couple other big topics coming up, but let's do a quick Tesla self-driving beta is getting expanded to a much larger size. They're going to really 10 times the amount of people who have access to self-driving beta today. They're looking at doubling its size in the next software upgrade, and then 10xing it for the 8.3 version.
Yeah, Elon tweeted it out, and it's just like a million tweets of like the handheld handheld high emoji, like me.
I mean, he said due to the massive amount of interest, I think he's created like the update on just the Teslas in general. Just asks people like, yep, do you want it? Yeah, you know, yes or no, and it's now part of. If you own a Tesla, you have the option to request it there based off of what state you're in, because only certain states.
Xbox has a program where you can sign up and you get like all the UI updates like a month early, so you can work out some of the bugs. And anytime it crashes, I have to write like a note and tell them why it crashed and send my data report to them. So, like, I'm assuming, yeah, they're going to do the same thing as like, if you want in, just let us know, sign up for this like beta guy. You know, and you'll get it a month early, 2 months, you know, 3 months early, and you can work out the kinks.
Yeah, but I'm really curious to see how this thing rolls out, as right now, you know, it's in such small numbers, the beta, but, you know, soon there's going to be hundreds and thousands of cars out on the road doing full self-driving, which means, you know, the TikToks and things are coming of
Man, I am all for this, man. There are so many goddamn idiots on the road. Like, I'm so for it. Like, I really think,
yeah, for sure,
this is going to drastically reduce roadside, you know, accidents, and it's going to make the roads a lot safer, I feel. Yeah. Like,
it rained down here in Southern California last week. Not very long, but it rained kind of hard. And I had to drive to go pick up my kids from school. And in the 3 mile drive from like where I got on the highway and where I got off the highway, 6 accidents.
Jesus.
Like, bad ones. Because people just don't know how to drive in the rain. Terrible drivers out here in Southern California. You want to know what doesn't happen? Tesla's not crashing itself in the rain. I promise you that. I promise you that.
Well, I laugh about that shit too, because, you know, living in Chicago, we drive through everything all the time. Like a sunny, nice, warm day is easy mode here. You know, we drive on expert level most of the time of the year. And then you see like the Texas freeze, or like Georgia gets inch of snow.
And it's like 100 people die on a massive car crash.
Slow down. Slow down. I have literally drove through like 8 inches of snow in a blizzard downtown, like, and not even care. Like, I don't even give a shit. And then you get 1 inch in Atlanta and everybody's just bumper carring it all over the goddamn road. Like, you're going down a hill. There's snow and ice on the road. You might want to pump the brakes and slow down. No, full 30 down the hill, hit the brakes for the red light and just pile ups. Cause like, yeah, it's so, yeah, if we could eliminate these things, if we can eliminate the user error out of driving, oh my God, I'll be so much happier. So much happier.
Yeah. Well, I think we're getting closer.
I think it's going to save a lot of people from old age wrinkles too. You know, you drive next to somebody, you give them that face like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And you just cringe up your fucking face. We're all going to gain 10 years on our looks by automated driving.
All right. And then, another big topic here. We've got the, some recent hacking news, and
yeah,
this would be a time for a Fuck China segment here.
I'm going to try to get them to roll our theme song.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
if you don't hear it.
if you don't hear it right now,
you know he said fuck that dude. Fuck China.
All right, and then so our Fuck China segment here is about this latest hack, which... You know, some are saying it's hit astronomical numbers, and this is the attack on the Microsoft Exchange server. So really what this hack was, it's a backdoor that's put into the code for anybody using Outlook Web Access. So really, you know, who uses Outlook Web Access? Like most government agencies and most like defense contracting companies and these big companies that maintain their own secure servers and email servers, and they maintain their own and they get... They allow people to access it through Outlook Web Access or whatever else at their home and other services. So whoever used Outlook Web Access, which again is tons of companies, the scale at which this is like another SolarWinds type thing, but specific to Outlook Web Access. The amount of individuals who use OWA are huge, and it's unknown, you know, how many of these companies that the Chinese hackers or whatever else went and say downloaded your email server data or went and actually used the exploitation here, but they've been out there and they've been out there for a while. And you know, the coming from the current head of cyber security and infrastructure security, the CISA, said that if your organization ran OWA server between February 26th and March 3rd, that you should just start doing incident reporting now, incident response mode, because you were exposed. Like, hands down, if you just had OWA server at all between that week, consider yourself a part of this incident. And then, like, Chris Krebs, who was the fired CISA head from the Trump election, or during the election time frame, he was fired by Trump, but he was the old head of CISA, and he said that this is an absolute, like, this is a real deal. This is a major vulnerability that has been exposed. So, you know, again, what are the Chinese groups doing? Microsoft has said that this is a Chinese government backed group. Who knows if, well, you know, Microsoft is the head of our intelligence, I guess, on this one. But this is generally, I think, what everybody assumes, right? Everybody always assumes if it comes from China, it's state sponsored.
Yeah.
This is what we all assume.
You don't do anything in China without the government's approval. So, yeah. Like, you know what? This really gets me too, because if fucking Bill Gates wasn't out there trying to shoot everybody with microchips through vaccines, maybe he could spend some time on some internet security.
All right.
Motherfuckers out here trying to microchip the world, leaving back doors in his system. Get it together, Bill. Get it together. Priorities, pal.
Yeah. And then, ultimately, this is, it's kind of similar to SolarWinds in the sense that we won't know the scope at which, like, this actually affected the companies, this affected everybody. But it is crazy that, you know, this was a hack on, like, everyone, right? So this was an indiscriminate, just
how we handle this as a country really frustrates me, because I don't know exactly the answer, but all I know is if I forget to lock my garage every once in a while and I come home and my neighbor's using my lawnmower, once maybe I say, okay, buddy, like I fucked up. I should have locked my door, but let me get my lawnmower back. Like after like the third, fourth, fifth, 10th, 15th, 100th time, I'm walking next door and fucking you up. Like, stay out of my garage. Give me back my shit. And I'm cracking your fucking head. Like, I don't understand how this is that much different. Like, yes, okay, maybe we shouldn't leave the door unlocked. We should have stronger locks on our garage door. I understand that argument. Let's put better locks on it. But the one fucking time that we just kind of forget to hit the button, or we thought we heard it click when we were driving away, but it didn't fucking click, and we just pull away with the garage door open, like, doesn't give our neighbor the right to walk in and take all my shit. Like, I'm still fucking you up when I get home.
I mean, yeah, it's a good analogy. Problem is, you could still call the cops on your neighbor, and regardless of whether you know you're an idiot and left your garage door open, that's still illegal.
Well, in the internet, there is no cops. There's no cops. We're in a copless society. We're in a copless society. In this, you know, this scenario
that's
here.
Like, I get it. You're a meathead, and you're saying you're going to go next door and just beat the hell out of your neighbor. Realistically, most people would just call
the cops. I promise you right now he's going to stop stealing my lawnmower. I promise you right now he's going to stop stealing my lawnmower. Some people don't respond to nice talk and sanctions. Other motherfuckers need to get a lump on the motherfucking head before they learn.
Yeah, I think you are lacking in the understanding of the scale of what that cost of that lump would be to go and actually escalate something.
I'm fully prepared to do 30 days in county to get my lawnmower back, and sometimes you just gotta do that shit. Like, sorry fucking about it, man. Sometimes the fucking point needs to be made. We have principles. Stand on your fucking ground, defend your fucking shit, and if you got to pay a price to do so, you pay that fucking price. But y'all gonna learn today.
Well, that price is quite again the scale at which that price would come if things escalated over, you know, stolen emails. That becomes.
But this isn't just about stolen emails. It's about intellectual property. It's about sabotaging our economy. It's about hurting our country in any way possible and finding any window to do it in. And that it's not about the acts we're necessarily fighting. It's the mindset of fuck my neighbor that we're fighting.
I'm not in any way saying that what China's doing here, what Russia did with SolarWinds, I am not in any way saying that what they did is acceptable. What I probably will caveat with is, I mean, we've been doing these same things for a long damn time to other people. And then, again, you know, what are you talking about here when you say, again, we're going to get into like national policy questions and use of military force.
Yeah, at some point, we need to have what we call internet borders. You cross our physical border, that's an act of war. You cross our internet border, that's a fucking act of war.
It's not regulated that way.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It should be. I'm saying it should be. I'm saying let's make changes and make it so that there are greater ramifications if you want to fuck with our digital borders. You know, I get it. Private companies are one thing. I don't think the government should defend private companies. But you fuck with our power grid. You fuck with our voting system. You fuck with our federal websites at all, anything like that, that are provided by the people, for the people. That's a motherfucking act of war. Sorry about it. Stay the fuck out of our shit.
And to some degree, like the infrastructure issues and stuff like that, that would be considered like an act of aggression. But
aggression,
you know, in this instance, hey, war, you can call it whatever you want, right? In the end, like I said, these are not simple problems for legislators to deal with. And you know, your example of, hey, you're willing to spend 30 days in county, you know, that could be thousands of
I have two daughters. I've accepted the fact that I am doing 30 days in county at some point in my life. All right. I have two beautiful daughters.
But again,
jail does not scare me.
that cost is yours. The cost of anything you're proposing to respond to China is not the cost of
anything worth defending. Anything worth defending has a cost. Anything worth defending has a cost. And that's what I'm saying is we need to put a higher cost on our digital livelihoods. That's all I'm saying.
We'll see where these things continue to go. because this is far from the last one we're going to talk about. So I'm sure we'll talk about going to war with China again, and I'll probably still be on the side of caution, against any type of conflict or armed conflict with China over any digital nonsense. But all right, we got some space news. Let's finish up a little bit of space news. Let's go into happy topics here. I guess I was going to say not so happy. It's pretty happy. Iterative improvements, right? That's what SpaceX is going for here.
It took a couple minutes for this one to blow up after it landed.
SN10, it successfully flew, what was it, like 60,000 feet that it flew to, and then it came down. The last time, it crashed, and we talked about it, people tweeting saying, like, well, why don't you just turn on more than one engine to make sure that you don't have a failure? And Elon admitted that it's just because they were dumb and he would do it in the future. Well, they did. The two engines kicked off on this one, and then one of them shut off on descent. So, but they made sure they did the flip with two actual Falcon engines, cut off to one to have the slower descent, and then they successfully landed it. This is the first one. Anybody who thinks that this is just a failed project and doesn't grasp just the sheer astounding way that this massive tube of steel has flown 60,000 feet and then just belly flops itself down to Earth to kick off some engines.
We have an entire generation obsessed with flipping a water bottle on its face, and this dude's landing rockets with precision, and everyone's like, oh, that's cool.
On a fucking X, you know what I mean? Putting it back down exactly where it needed to go.
Like, this is the ultimate water bottle flip, folks. The ultimate.
Yeah, anybody who just can't understand how impressive this is, it just has no place talking about science with anybody. No,
he needs to land a rocket and then have his grandma dab in a TikTok, and people give a shit about it. Oh god!
But in this one, it does successfully, complete the flip. It completes the land. And then it was kind of leaning, and some people suspect that it was because of, the legs are less structurally sound than they're supposed to be. Elon said that it did come in a little hot in the future ones. They're going to actually they'll fire three engines to do the flip, and they'll actually keep two burning for the landing. Previously, they thought that would be too much thrust to have a smooth land.
This one was just such a delay. Like, all the live streamers, you see their thing and it lands, everybody's happy.
Like, success!
And everyone's kind of just chit-chatting and talking right after, and all of a sudden it just blows up. Everyone's like, oh shit, what the fuck just happened? it was almost like Elon just hit the button for shits and gigs, I don't even know if there's anything wrong with this rocket ship. I think Elon was just high as fuck at his house and looked at Grimes, was like, hey, check this out, hit a button, boom, watch everyone freak out, this will be great.
Yeah, I think Elon obviously goes to Twitter. He was tweeting about SN10 now being in Valhalla, and he's throwing out a bunch of Mars Viking references. But
I'm in the middle of God of War 4, so I fully love all that shit.
But he said that they're going to look at doing or improving kind of the leg design, so there's stronger legs. That's what people assume happened, because it did have a lean to it that one of the legs failed, which caused it to put added stress somewhere else. It started to leak methane gas, and then the methane gas is what caught fire and started the chain reaction of the massive explosion there. So yes, successful. Also had its own failures. SN11 is already pretty much ready to go. Like, they just have these things to where they can churn them out. They're building these prototypes so fast that if anybody thinks that he is not ready to scale thousands of people to the moon and then eventually Mars in a hurry, he is turning these things out in a 2-week
time frame. Wicked fast time, man. Wicked fast.
So, he's absolutely okay with this explosion. It just gives him more data points and more reasons to change. And then some other cool things about this story is, I don't know if you saw the videos of the wreckage or getting searched, is because of them not knowing what chemicals got spread and what the fire was, they did the searching of the wreckage and the collection of some debris with the Spot Robot, with the Boston Dynamics
yes!
robot.
There's videos of the
yes! explosion site of just a Boston Dynamics robot with a different like camera head on the top of it, just
like a spectrometer looking for gas and stuff.
Yeah,
going around. That's awesome.
And it's just a great example of some other robot tech all together.
When Nerd Cantina stories collide, I love it. I love it.
All right. And then, Starship has got to go somewhere. So why wouldn't it go to a space hotel? Which takes us to the last story of the week. And this is a story about a space hotel that they're looking to start construction in 2025. And they're saying that you're looking for a 2027 grand opening of something that's straight out of sci-fi. And this is a big modular hotel that this company looking to name this Voyager class space station hotel. They're saying it should be able to accommodate up to 400 people. And this 400 people, in addition to there's certain portions of it dedicated towards like science and low gravity studies through whatever government grants and other things that they're trying to get for that. It looks like I said, just like the prototype or the mock-up that they've put on their website and the video they've put on their website of how they're going to build it. It's all just kind of pieced together, modularly pieced together into this big spinning hotel, which makes me think like Ender's Game level sci-fi, the spinning thing. And then they've got to have that room in the middle that doesn't spin. So that way you can actually
have anti-gravity.
anti-gravity combat like Ender's Game. But this is, they're saying 2027 opening. Now, we talked about this company before, and it was a 2025 opening. Because when I brought this up to my son, who's very into space, he quickly reminded me that it was supposed to be 2025, Dad. And I was like, no way does my 7-year-old remember when I talked to him at 5 about a space hotel. And I looked it up. Legitimately, my son, who is obsessed with space, absolutely put it in his brain and remembered forever.
He's got the countdown.
He was going to the space hotel.
What do you think he's asking for his birthday in 5 years?
So while I think this is cool that it's 2027, my son is disappointed he's got to wait another 2 years to go to space hotel because somehow he thinks Dad's affording this shit.
But, oh yeah, he has no concept of money value yet. Obviously, you know, this place is just going to be for nerds and baller ass CEOs to bring their mistress so they know that for sure their wife ain't showing up to that lobby.
If you thought that zip code rule worked for your mistress, if you thought the zip code or area code rule worked for you to have a mistress, like not on this planet, that's not even cheating. It doesn't even count.
Instantly my brain just went to like some Total Recall hooker in a lobby, you know, hitting on all the nerds, like with a third prosthetic boob for nostalgia. Like hopefully this thing's baller. Like I hope that they deck out the inside all swanky, you know, because like I don't want to go to a space hotel and feel like I'm on the space station. You know, those things don't look comfortable at all. I don't think I've seen one astronaut that like looked like they enjoyed their relaxful stay in space. So I want king size beds. I want thread count. I want all that shit. And like, how do you become a bartender there? Say like for real, like someone's got to run room service.
You just work there.
Someone's got to be a bellhop. Yeah. Like, do you do a 6-month stint, 3-month stint on the space station?
It's gonna be like the cruise industry. Like you just go up there, you work there. They're gonna have lounge singers.
instead of you know, Bravo's gonna have a show instead of Below Deck, it's Above Deck, and then you got all like, bro, I'm a nasty reality TV whore. I will watch that shit. You give me a reality show on the space station staff. I'm watching that shit all day, son. All day. For sure. I want all the space drama.
This is why we need science to innovate here, so we can get above deck.
Yes. I'm here for it. I'm here for it. We'll subsidize some of the costs, man. Make it cheaper so that maybe we can go one day. But to my understanding, this is going to be luxury yacht costs times five.
Yeah, easily. But I don't know. Well, that's a week in news. That's what we got. I don't know. As always, thanks again for listening. Thanks for listening to episode 137 here. Thanks for being a part of the community. If you aren't a part of the actual Facebook group, go ahead, please join us over at thenerdcantina.com/community. It's a great way to kind of support us, share some memes, keep some good conversations going. And then, I mean, you could go to that Patreon that that Steve talked about earlier.
$1. And
donate a buck or so.
$1.
We'll send you a sticker. We'll show our thanks. And then it'll help us to continue to build this thing out.
And don't forget, as of last week we had mentioned it, the Take a Knee for Marvel versus DC. Their podcasts are doing a big March Madness bracket for a kind of popularity contest for all our favorite characters from anime, movies, comics, TV shows. They released that bracket. It's up in the group. Their show that they just released is going over the first round. After the first round, it is open for your vote. So hopefully he doesn't...
I'm listening to their podcast right after this.
Oh, because just to hear...
How many of my people that you already
killed. Exactly. Exactly. I don't like how this kind of like plays out.
I wasn't a fan. I wasn't a fan of the fact that...
I didn't know my arch nemesis was going to have... It was going to have control over opening voting and seating. Like, he put my guy Shoto against Luffy right away. And yeah, I didn't like that all too much. I'm looking forward to the rounds where the people have the voice. But
I'm hoping I got a couple people left after the initial rounds here. I know I'll have one or two, but I think two. I think
you got a one seed. Don't you have a one seed?
I did get a one seed.
I got a three seed. I got a three seed.
So yeah, I'm definitely curious to see how that plays out.
So be sure to listen. Be sure to listen to the guys that Take a Knee. We'll let you know when you can vote in the group. We'll be posting all the links for that. Again, we're trying to win this shit. Let's do it.
All right, with all that said, thanks again. Talk to you next week, nerds.
See ya.